Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Stake That, a Blood Coven vampire novel by Mary Mancusi, narrated by Caitlin Kelly. 1. Blogfast sucks. Thursday, May 31st, 8:30 a.m. OMG, I am so pissed right now. As you know, I've been keeping this blog for, like, ever, in an effort to document my transformation into a vampire. I've shared with you my notes from my Vamp Certification 101 class, told you all the juicy details about my hot vampire bloodmate-to-be, Magnus. Heck, I've even posted excerpts from the Biting Humans for Fun and Profit manual. But what does my blogging site decide to do the week everything is supposed to go down? It decides to go down, too. The whole last week's worth of entries vanished into thin cyberspace air. Ugh. Okay. Deep breath, Rain. There's nothing you can do about it except send threatening hate tweets to @blogfast. Though then, the vindictive little geeks who run the site will probably torch your whole blog altogether instead of just last week's entries. Better to just recap and deal. But still, major grr, if you ask me. Okay. Of course, you're all dying to know. Am I a vampire? After all, the last blog entry of my own never-ending story, Not Eaten by the Nothing, was written the night I was scheduled to be transformed. I was headed to Club Fang, the coolest goth club in the known universe, with my twin sister, Sunny. Yes, yes, we're sunshine and rain, hippie parents and all that. And we've already heard all the jokes, so please don't bother. There I was to meet my bloodmate, the drool-worthy vampire Magnus. He was supposed to bite me, and then we'd spend eternal life together as vampires, which, FYI, is a pretty sweet gig. I mean, we're talking riches beyond belief, amazing powers, and, best of all, no high school. Am I right? Problem is, that's not exactly how it all went down. Instead of biting me, Magnus the dumbass bit my twin sister, Sunny, instead. We're identical, you know, but still. You'd think he would at least have double-checked that he had the right girl before going to the point of no return. After all, we're talking real-life extinguishing event here, and not some parent trap movie starring Lindsay Puke Lohan. And let me tell you, Sunny, who had no idea up until then that the whole vamp world even existed, was so not pleased to be informed that, due to a bloody bad case of mistaken identity, she would now spend eternity as a pasty, blood-gulping creature of the night. Her words, not mine. And Magnus, the moron, was freaked out beyond belief that he was going to get in trouble with the boss, Lucifund, for performing an unauthorized bite. After all, she wasn't even blood-tested first for diseases. Not that my innocent little twin sis would ever have diseases. Luckily for Maggie, Lucifund got dusted soon after by Bertha the Vampire Slayer. So Meg not only got off scot-free, he became the new Master of the Blood Coven and High Priest of the Eastern Vampire Conglomerate of the United States of America. Go figure. So, long story somewhat short, the two of them decided to see if they could stop the transformation. Ended up having to go to England to get a drop of pure blood from the Holy Grail. It's too long and boring to tell. But I made Sunny promise to write it all down, so maybe when she does, I can post it here or something. Bottom line, they were able to stop the vamp process, and my sweet little sis is now a member of the human race again. Of course, in the process, Her and Magnus fell deeply in love, and now they're doing the interspecies dating thing.
Which leaves me back at square one.
No hot blood mate to spend eternity with. No riches beyond belief. Just an American history paper that I didn't write because I'd assumed I'd be an immortal dropout before the due date. Can we say, Rain's life sucks big time? Ugh, I'm too depressed to write. More later. Posted by Rain McDonald at 8:30 a.m. Three comments. Ashley says, OMG, Rain, that totally blows at BlogFest. Eat your entries. You should, like, totally sue or something. I was on vacation with the fam and figured I'd catch up on your adventures when I came back, and now I've missed everything. SMH. Butterfly QT says, thank God your sis got to turn back to a human. From what you've written about her, I think she'd make a totally sucky vamp. LOL, sucky vamp. Rain says,
I'm so with you, Butterfly. I mean, the girl didn't appreciate the idea of immortal life and big bucks one bit. She was more interested in who was going to take her to the prom. Please.
Dark Goth Boy says,
hey, you're hot. Screw Magnus. He sounds like a tool. I'll be your bloodmate any day. Message me. Dark Goth Boy.
Rain says,
sorry, dude. I'm looking for a real vampire, not some poser who gets off on blood suckage.
2. Drama with the drama teacher.
Friday, June 1st, 5 p.m.
You are never going to believe what happened to me today. So it's Monday, and I'm walking through the hallways of Oak Ridge High feeling pretty good about myself, right? I mean, I decided to try to have a positive attitude about the whole thing. Sure, I missed my op to become a vamp this time around and had to get back on the waiting list for the next bloodmate. But it wasn't like I'd lost my chance forever. And besides, Magnus may be hot, but he's so not the type of guy I'd want to spend eternity with. I want someone way more dark and brooding. So, in a way, I figured it all worked out for the best. So, as I was saying, I'm walking through the halls, giving the finger to various meathead jocks like Mike Stevens, football quarterback and loser extraordinaire, avoiding the teachers who want to put me in detention for skipping class to go smoke over at the block, flirting with the new kid wearing an Interpol shirt. He's not that cute, but evidently has good taste in music. You know, your typical rainy day. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, some random old guy grabs me on the arm and starts dragging me into a side corridor.
You must come with me,
he says in an urgent voice. I'm just about ready to go taekwondo on his ass, but then I realize it's Mr. Tyfert, Sonny's drama coach. Dude, I think you've mistaken me for my twin, I say, as he drags me down into the auditorium's backstage area. I'm Rain. Sonny's the one in your play, not me.
This mistaken for my twin thing has so gotta stop. The teacher pulls on the door and it slams closed with a large, ominous clanking sound, which, FYI, is a totally cool sound effect. I could use that in my next film. For those of you just joining us, I'm going to be the next Tim Burton or David Lynch, just FYI.
I know who you are, Rain,
Mr. Tyfert says, scratching his balding head. I raise an eyebrow. Oh, then maybe an explanation of why you dragged me in here might be in order, don't you think? He nods.
Yes, yes, of course.
He takes a deep breath.
Now brace yourself. This may be a little difficult to take in.
At first, I totally think he's going to come up with some sicko declaration of love or something, which would have been extremely gross.
I mean, sure, I dated my English teacher for 2 weeks last semester,
but he was a 22-year-old sexy Australian who liked Nietzsche.
Mr. Teifert's practically ancient. At least 40, I'd say. And so not sexy, or cute, or Australian.
What I'm going to tell you may come as a bit of a shock,
he continues in an extremely serious tone. Jeez, enough with the drama, drama teacher guy. Shock. Ah, I gotcha. Spit it out. After all, I'm late for class. Not that this would normally bother me. He clears his throat.
Very well, then. Once a generation, there is a girl born who is destined to slay the vampires.
I stare at him. You know about Bertha the Vampire Slayer? I ask incredulously. You know about vampires? Okay, he's right. I am shocked. And odd. And all that. I had no idea this nerdy old teacher had any clue about the other world. I guess that's why he acted so weird when Sunny and I were joking around in the auditorium last week.
Bertha, has had some blood pressure issues,
he stammers.
She's temporarily retired from the slaying biz.
I see, I say slowly. Too much drive-through supersizing for Bertha between slays, I guess.
No, I don't think you do, Mr. Teifert says. What I'm trying to tell you, Ms. McDonald, is that you are next in line.
Next in line? I swallow hard, not liking where this is going. Next in line for what exactly? I mean, sure, if he's going to say next in line for the senior class play iPad giveaway, I'm his girl. But somehow I think he might be going in a much more unpleasant and less aptastic. Mr. Teifert's smile doesn't quite reach his eyes as he holds out his hand. I stare down at it, not ready to shake.
Congratulations, Rain McDonald,
he says.
You are the chosen one. Slayer Inc.'s new official vampire slayer.
I gape. What the... Oh, crap. My mom's calling me to dinner. More later. Posted by Rain McDonald at 5 p.m. Three comments. AngelBaby3234566 says, OMG, Rain, how can you leave us hanging? Come back and tell us the rest. How can you be a vampire slayer? Dark Goth Boy says,
Hey, serves you right, you snotty bitch. Now you'll wish you hooked up with me. No vamp will touch you with a 10-foot pole.
Rain says, Don't worry, goth boy. I'd rather become a nun than touch your, pole. 3. Destiny Bites. Friday, June 1st, 7 p.m. I'm back. Sorry for the interruption. Mom has been militant about the whole family eating together ever since Dad left us. Don't even get me started. She would have freaked if I didn't show up for our nightly meal of tofu burgers and baked cardboard. French fries. I think she gets lonely, especially now that Sunny and I have a car and we're always off doing our own thing. She needs to start dating again. I mean, she's a total hippie, but seems downright Quaker when it comes to free love. Anyway, back to the Slayer thing. I stare at Mr. Teifert. Sorry, dude, I say. I so cannot become the Slayer. No freaking way. I mean, I'm in the vamp inner circle here. I have vampire friends. My sister is dating the new Blood Coven Master Vamp. I'm on the waiting list to become a vampire myself. How can you expect me to all of a sudden go all Terminator on them? That just doesn't fit into the Rain 5-year plan. There are several armchairs on stage, set up for the production of the senior class play, Bye Bye Birdie, which Sunny is starring in, BTW. Mr. Tyfert motions for me to sit in one of them, but I shake my head. I'm not interested in sitting around and chatting with this psycho. I'm so out of here, I say, turning to exit stage left.
Wait,
he calls after me.
You must listen to what I have to say.
Dude, I don't have to listen to a damn thing, I retort. But something inside me makes me stop walking. Curiosity, I guess. I mean, desirable occupation or no, it's not every day one gets told one has a destiny. Especially by the drama coach. Mr. Tyfert sighs, running a hand through his wild black hair.
Actually, you do, Rain.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'll tell you, if you'll sit.
Grr! I mean, what am I, a dog or something? I reluctantly turn back and head towards center stage. I plop down in the nearest chair, which is way more uncomfortable than it looks. The springs dig into my butt, and I hope this big revelation of my destiny isn't going to take too long. So, tell me already, I say. Mr. Tyfert takes the seat across from me. He leans forward, hands on his knees.
You know me as a high school teacher, but I am also senior vice president of Slayer, Inc. We're a human-run organization that tracks the vampire community and makes sure they stay in line.
And if they don't, you dust them? Very diplomatic. Mr. Tyfert sighs.
Yes, there are times when that becomes our only option. But we do try to use other, more civilized methods first. But if all else fails, if the vampire in question refuses to follow the code, then we must remove him.
Like you did with Lucifer? I accuse, remembering how Bertha the Vampire Slayer recently took down the former master. What did he ever do to you? Tyfert shifts, as if his seat is suddenly uncomfortable.
That's confidential, he says. But trust me, we had our reasons.
Okay, fine, I say. Obviously this is going nowhere. Not that I agree with your methods, but let's move on. So if, like, once a generation there's a Slayer born, and Bertha is that Slayer in mine, how come you're picking on me? Tyfert snorts.
Please, this is the 21st century. You don't think we'd have a backup?
He shakes his head.
Sure, in the old days they only chose one. But then when that one was killed by a vampire or something, they had to wait a whole other generation before they could start policing the covens again. Completely impractical. So, nowadays, we select several girls at birth.
So if I die in my duties, you just swap me out? Kind of harsh. Suddenly, I have sympathy for Bertha.
Our goal is, of course, to keep you alive, and we will do everything in our power to do that.
You're talking like I've already agreed to do this, I point out. I haven't, and I won't, actually. I'm on a waiting list to become a vampire, and I'm thinking that becoming an official slayer would definitely put me at the back of the line.
I'm sorry, Rain.
Mr. Tyfert says, in actuality, not sounding the least bit apologetic.
But you don't have a choice.
I narrow my eyes. What do you mean, I don't have a choice? Of course I have a choice. I can just, like, choose to slay vampires or to let them live. And I choose life. Well,
not life exactly, seeing as they're technically already dead. Undead, I guess, but...
When you were born, you were injected with a dormant nanovirus by a Slayer Inc. operative working in Mercy Hospital.
Mr. Tyford interrupts in an oddly calm voice.
If you refuse to fulfill your destiny, we will be forced to activate the virus, and you will, I'm afraid, suffer a very painful death.
I'm sure my eyes are totally bugging out of my head now as I stare at him. Nanovirus? WTF is a nanovirus? He's gotta be kidding, right? I glance around the auditorium, looking for reality TV cameras or something. This has got to be a joke, right? I realize my palms are totally sweaty all of a sudden, and my fingers have become real trembly. Fear pokes at my heart. Has Tyford already activated the virus? Am I dying as we speak? OMG, I could be literally dying. Right here, right now. Or am I just being all hypochondriac, girl? Like the time I swore I had come down with Ebola after reading about it in social studies. I mean, I had all the symptoms. Headache, muscle ache, red eyes, fatigue, stomach pain. The school nurse had not been impressed, informing me that those were also symptoms of a hangover, as was the distinct smell of vodka on my breath. Guess I should have brushed my teeth a few more times after Spider and I embarked on our Do These Fake IDs Work adventure the night before. But I'm not taking any chances, especially since it feels like my throat is starting to close up. My vision is getting spotty. Please, I beg. I want to live. Turn it off, please turn it off. Mr. Tyford rolls his eyes.
I haven't turned it on, Rain, but I must say I'm quite impressed by your dramatic prowess. Ever consider the theater?
Oh. Vision returns, throat loosens, I no longer feel the urge to go toward the light. Phew.
Come with me.
Mr. Tyford rises from his chair and beckons me to follow. I reluctantly stand up and trail behind him as he heads to the back of the stage. Behind the cheerily painted background flats, behind the interior curtain, behind the cage that holds all the lighting controls. Just when I think we can't go back any further, we come to a small, nondescript door I'd never noticed before. Mr. Tyford pulls out a large, old-fashioned golden key and slips it into the lock. Before opening the door, he glances from left to right, to see if we're alone, I guess. Then he turns the key. The door creaks open. I can practically feel my heart pounding against my chest cavity as I follow him inside. At this point, I'm thinking, what if the guy just made up the whole Slayer Inc. thing? What if he's really some psycho, axe-wielding teacher who likes to chop up teenagers and then eat them in the back room? Have any other students gone missing from Oak Ridge lately? When was the last time I saw Toby Fisher? He has a lot of meat on his bones. I'm about ready to run screaming back onto the stage when Tyford flips a switch and the room becomes bathed in a dull orange glow. I glance around, my breath catching in my throat. Suddenly, I'm too fascinated to leave, even if I now have an even better reason to do so. Weapons. Lots of weapons. In fact, I'd bet my Doc Marten combat boot collection that none of you have seen so many weapons in one place before. Well, if you don't count museums, which I don't, as those are ancient weapons behind glass, not the ready to chop off someone's head at a moment's notice variety like these are. There are intricate medieval swords, shiny axes, gulp, and a large collection of jeweled daggers.
Tools of the Slayer, Tyford explains.
I glance over at him. Under this lighting, he no longer looks like a dorky drama teacher. In fact, if I didn't know better, I'd say he had some kind of weird glow about him.
a glow of power. I can use these? I ask, running a hand along the helm of the sword. I start imagining myself wielding the mighty blade. Just like that cool senior Jen Toffman, who belongs to the Society of Creative Anachronism, and does medieval battle recreations on the weekends.
No, Mr. Tyfert corrects, sinking all my dreams of becoming a 21st century knight in shining armor.
Figures. He pulls open a drawer and rummages around.
Not right away, anyway. To begin with, you will use this.
I stare at the item in his hand. That? That's all I get to vanquish evil and slay immortal creatures of the night? That's just a chunk of wood, dude.
It's a stake,
Mr. Tyfert clarifies.
You must know about staking vampires, Rain. Even Hollywood's got that part right.
I roll my eyes. But those stakes are at least smooth, pointy. Elegant, almost. I bet you just found that thing outside on the ground in the woods. Mr. Tyfert inspects the rough stick in his hand.
That's because it's not finished yet. Each slayer must carve her own stake, embed it with her own essence. That's what gives it its power.
So not only do I have to go out and fight evil villains, I have to take up woodworking too? The drama teacher sighs deeply.
I never said becoming the Slayer would be a field trip to a Justin Bieber concert.
Good, because I'd rather stab myself with an unfinished stake than attend one of those, I inform him. Die a slow, painful death. It'd still be better. I can't believe you think I like the Biebs. I mean, I know you adults all think we teens look the same, but hello? I gesture to my outfit. Black-wearing, night-worshipping, goth girl here. I so have better taste than that.
Right. We're getting off topic here.
Tyfert interrupts. Good thing, too, because I had a lot more to say on the subject. I mean, talk about insulting. The drama coach holds out the stake. I take it, reluctantly. Worried that the nasty thing is going to give me splinters. Thanks, I mutter, not quite sure of the appropriate response to the giftage of a piece of wood.
Look, Rain, try to see the job as an opportunity.
Tyfert tries again. Jeez, the man doesn't give up. He'd make a great army recruiter. An opportunity to murder innocent creatures of the night that pose absolutely no threat to the human race? Rock on. There's more than a hint of sarcasm in my voice, as you can probably imagine.
Now that's where you're mistaken, little girl.
Mr. Tyfert says, narrowing his eyes and going all authority figure on me.
Not all vampires are so-called good guys. As you seem to believe. And those who are live a peaceful existence, have no reason to fear our organization. It's only the evil vampires that we wish to keep in line.
Okay, fine. Only the bad guys. What about my sister's boyfriend? I ask. Is Magnus a goodie or a baddie?
We are pleased at Magnus's rise to power. We feel he will be a great master, actually.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Don't have to worry about pissing Sunny off. Nanovirus or not, dusting one's sister's BF would so be against the twin code of honor. Okay, so if I were to take this gig, I say cautiously. Not that I'm necessarily saying yes, but if I do... Who'd be my first victim? Mr. Tyfert reaches into his leather briefcase and pulls out a file. He flips through the pages until he comes to an 8x10 photo. He holds it up so I can take a look. My eyes widen, and a chill trips down my spine as I examine the photo.
The vamp in question just looks evil. Seriously evil. He has...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?